guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, his name is Seth Greenberg. He's a college basketball analyst for ESPN, and he joins us now. Seth, what's going on, man?
How you guys doing?
I think people in Memphis are pretty excited, actually. They're encouraged after last night.
Well, they should be. I mean, you know, I thought that, Memphis played with great confidence. They were aggressive. They attacked. Those two upper-class seniors, Martin and Davenport, were really good. Harris obviously had his moments. They played hard, not always smart, especially at the end of the game. I think they got sped up against that pressure a little bit. But they played on the road for the first time, they competed at a high level. They're going to have to get better in time and score. They're going to have to improve their shot selection, but they're playing with tremendous confidence.
Have you ever had a player like Tyler Harris who clearly wants to shoot the ball and can get going, but can also have some bad misses? And if you have, how do you coach that kind of player? How do you sort of manage that?
You've got to get him to understand what a good shot and his bad shot is. But you can't take away his aggressiveness, his confidence, that's what makes him who he is. But he can shoot you in, he can shoot you out. I mean, that's just the way it is. He's got to understand time and score. You've got to give him freedom, but he's got to understand time and score. He's got to understand advantage, disadvantage, and those type of things. Once he better understands those things, and then you still give him the freedom to be aggressive, but he's got to balance it. Time and score and advantage, disadvantage, win and lose close games for you.
What do you think?
And that's just the way it is.
What do you think, Coach, of Penny from what you saw? We made it, it's a very small sample size, and he's got a lot to prove, obviously, as a coach. But, used his timeouts to stop runs. From what you saw, what did you think of the job that Penny did last night coaching?
He's going to do a great job using his timeouts. And one thing about the NBA, no league in basketball does a better job of using their timeouts than the NBA. He's played for really good coaches.
Yes, sir.
He's been around very good coaches. So managing that part of the game is not going to be hard. I think the hardest part is going to be getting his guys to understand good shot, bad shot without taking away their freedom. Mm-hmm. I think the hardest thing is going to be to get those guys to, at the end of the game, and again, this is his first thing, getting them to execute. They ran the one box play where they isolated on the block and tried to attack the matchup.
Yep.
Tremont Waters, which was great, but I think they got to find a couple more ways to move. Look, he's played for coaches. He knows 8,000 sets. He's got Sam Mitchell beside him, who was coach of the year in the NBA, who's a really good coach and one of the great guys of all time. He's got Mike Miller, who played for great coaches as well and was on championship teams. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just a fine line that he's gonna experience, and all head coaches experience, in terms of be demanding, give him freedom. But there are certain times that the coach has to control, time, score, shot selection,
yeah,
who shoots it, how fast we play. And that's just every – I don't care who you are, every coach goes through that. And they're trying to create an identity. And part of the identity is to play freed up. So, he's walking that fine line too as a coach. I mean, because he wants to show prospects and the community, that it's going to be different. But look, he's fortunate. He's inherited Davenport and Martin. Those two guys are good.
Yes.
Those two guys have experience, and those guys, they won 20-something games last year. It might not have been good enough for the Memphis community, but they still won 20-something games last year. So, I mean, having those two guys and then the recruiting that he's done is obviously been terrific, but there's still a transition period. I mean, that's the hardest thing that people got to understand. I don't care how good freshmen are, I don't care where they are. It takes time, and people need to be patient, because you're playing a lot of young guys, you're playing a small backcourt, you're playing in a new system, and patience will be needed. You can't shoot 29% from the three and 41% from the two, and you know, expect to win. Yeah. I mean, it's just a hard thing to do. You got to get, and part of that is just getting better shots. But I thought his poise was great. I thought he communicated well. I thought he was great with his coaches on the bench, which is, I think, is important. And he'll learn to. I think it's important that he's got to lean on those guys a little bit. That would just make sense, and I'm sure he will. I mean, he's a smart guy. I mean, and he's a bright guy, and he's a basketball guy. So, I mean, you know, but everything is a process.
Last thing on Memphis before we turn to the national college basketball scene. This is not the final product for Penny Hardaway. He's hoping to land the number one player in the country in James Wiseman. He's got a 5-star in DJ Jeffries on the way. So all that being said, and knowing what could be coming, what should be the goal for Penny in his first year as a college coach? Should it just really mostly be about instilling that culture and teaching the guys, especially the younger ones, how he wants the game to be played?
Yeah, because the culture, I'm sure, was fine. I mean, I guarantee you the culture under Tubby Smith was good. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the culture of accountability, the culture of work ethic, the culture of competing. I mean, you know, Tubby Smith's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. Now, he might not have worked out in Memphis. He might have been a bad fit in Memphis. But let's not, you know, when you say culture, it's style of play is what he's going to implement. System is what he's going to implement. No, I think that, you know, their goal, I mean, you know, no one in that league is running away from anyone.
Exactly.
Houston looks like that they're going to be good. Corey Davis obviously can really score. They have an excellent backcourt. Cincinnati's hard to play against. It's a team that, you know, the matchup zone is tough. Jerron Cumberland's a very good player, but I'm not sure there's anyone in the – I saw UConn practice the other day. They, you know, they've got good guards, but they're little guards.
Right.
I'm not sure anyone in the league is running away from anyone else. I know that sounds silly. So, I mean, they've got good experienced players, and they've got very talented young, talented players that just don't get it yet. I would say right now, if I had to pick one team, I'd say with Armani Brooks and Corey Davis, Houston would be my team that probably is the most mature, that can score, that, you know, has the greatest substance right now. But I think Cincinnati's just hard to play against. You know, it's a rock fight.
Always.
McDuffie will be good, for Wichita State, and they'll get better. I mean, he's a really good coach. So I would say my goal would be to try to win the league. I mean, again, you're returning two very good players, and you've got very talented young players. I mean, I would think that would be his goal. The fans, look, I mean, that would have been their goal if Tubby was still there, right?
Yep, no question about it. Especially
why would you diminish the goal when, you know, you've had a pretty good recruiting class and you're returning two guys that averaged, you know, 17 or 15 points a game, if I'm not mistaken.
And what we think, as you just laid out, Coach, is a down year for the AAC. You spoke of UConn. You were just up there, spent some time with Hurley. Do you expect him to get it back quick? Because if Penny can do that right here at Memphis, and Hurley can do it at UConn, you figure, you know, Wichita State, after rebuilding this year, will be back. You've got Cincinnati always. It looks like a good league once you get Memphis and UConn back, right?
Yeah. The league is good. The hardest thing about the league is it's spread out so far.
Geographically.
I mean, that's just the hardest thing. UCF will be better. I know they lost a tough game to FIU the other day, but they got three really good players. Mm-hmm. Aubrey's very good. BJ's very good. And Taco is just, you know, someone that's different. UCF's going to be good. I mean, they had a disappointing loss, but, I mean, you're seeing a lot of teams with disappointing losses early in the season. So, the way I look at it, look, Memphis has a great tradition. I used to love going there when I was in South Florida and we played down there. And they've got good fans. They've got knowledgeable fans. I hear the new practice facility is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So, they've got a lot of good things, going. And even if they get Wiseman, just so you understand it, you know, those kids are really good. He's not a finished product. Mm-hmm. I hate to tell you, but, I mean, he's got to learn how to play hard. He's got to learn how to, you know, I mean, like, as good as he is, you know, big guys especially, there's a transition period. And you hate to put unrealistic expectations. Again, everyone says, yeah, he's a lottery pick. He is, but the NBA is about the future. It's not about the present.
Right. What did you think of LSU last night? Obviously, they are loaded talent wise.
They're a little wild. I thought they got selfish at one point. I thought the Tremont Waters tried to do too much. I love Skylar Mays.
Mm-hmm.
Javante Smart plays way too spontaneously. You know, Naz Reid is talented, but there's a perfect example. But, you know, as talented as he is, did he dominate the game?
No.
Barford dominated the game. In fact, he was defended by smaller players that had a hard time getting open. He made that one crazy shot that he kind of squirted up there. That was actually a big shot. And he's talented. They're talented. They're athletic. They've got to learn how to play, be, you know, to be more connected and more trusting. But, I mean, that's all young teams to go through that. So, I mean, you know, that's a process. I really liked Emmett Williams. Like, Emmett Williams is a guy you go to war with.
Yes.
I mean, Emmett Williams is the guy that did, like, you know, that dude, he doesn't care. If he doesn't get a shot, he'll go get a shot off the glass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's really, I think he was the guy that jumped out at me the most. And look, Tremont's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is a little bit of a disconnect right now with Tremont and Smart. Not with Skylar Mays. The most impressive guy on their team, to me, the two most impressive guys on their team, is Skylar Mays, who lets the game come to him and attacks on opportunity, and Emmett Williams. To me, those guys, as winning players, and I like to find guys as winning players, those two guys look like winning players to me.
Another winning player is Grant Williams. I'm sure you would agree, Coach. Grant Williams over at Tennessee. I watched him last night. They get a win over Georgia Tech, a Georgia Tech team they should beat at home, and they did. They were not good offensively, didn't shoot the ball well. But how do you even start – when you start with a game plan, Coach, and, you know, to stop a guy like Grant Williams, where do you start? He reminds me a little bit of Corliss Williamson back in the day, Coach. Square shoulders.
Ooh,
you know, you're not going to be able
–
Yeah, not going to be able to keep him off the line, right? Skilled big, going to move you around. How do you start to stop, you know, a guy like him that's so experienced and, you know, is going to go down and get his spot on you? Where do you start with him?
Yeah, first of all, when he catches at the elbow in all those isolations, he's going to go left, but he's coming back right.
Mm-hmm.
So you better know he's coming back right. He's getting back to his right hand on all those drives. In late game, they're going to go to him on an elbow and dive someone opposite to open up a driving lane, spot up Turner or one of those guys in the corner. So if you help, he pitches it out.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. You know, they beat you defensively. Now, you know, Grant's good and Schofield's good. Those two guys are really good. But Jordan Bone's probably the most improved player on their team. That dude played hard yesterday.
He did.
I mean, really, really hard. But, yeah, Grant, you got to guard him early. You know, he's not a great rebounder, but he's a sneaky offensive rebounder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't average a double-double last year. In fact, I was out of practice of theirs early in the season. Rick was really on him to rebound the ball and pursue more balls. And, you know, the other thing is with Grant, he's got to remember he was an SEC player of the year.
Right.
He doesn't have to show everyone he's a three-point shooter. I know he wants to, but, you know, on opportunity. But he doesn't have to push the sides of the box out that far. But, yeah, you got to guard him early. You got to make him guard. I think that's one of the most important things.
Yep.
They're like, you know, everyone talk about Zion Williamson. How do you guard with Zion Williamson? You make him guard.
Mm-hmm.
You get him out of the game. Like, if I played Duke, I'd go at him the first 4 minutes of the game, I'd make him defend every single possession because he's so unique. And if you can get one on him or two on him, that takes away a little of the, you know, his aggressiveness. So I think the biggest thing is make Grant guard him early, know he's coming back to his right hand off the bounce from the perimeter, and then you got to match his toughness. They're good.
No question.
Yep, we are, of course, talking to Seth Greenberg, college basketball analyst for ESPN. Seth, are enough people talking about Kansas? I mean, they are absolutely loaded. LeJarrell Vick has a record, you know, from three.
Yep.
The other night he's a Memphis, and they got Dedrick Lawson from it. I just feel like there aren't enough people talking about and giving enough credit to this team that Bill Self has put together there in Lawrence.
Yeah, because of Duke. I mean, it's a Duke.
Because of Duke.
I mean, it's about Zion Williamson and, yeah, look. You know, they just captured everyone's imagination. And just so you guys know, I know we're going to be talking a lot about Duke. I can tell you that much. But, you know, Kansas, I mean, you know, as Dedrick, you know, fits in as a passing four that can play in the high-low. And LeGero is, you know, he was terrific the other day. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, Quentin Grimes plays with great poise. And, you know, Udoka has gotten better. You got to move him off his spot a little bit. But he's gotten better. They've got really good depth. Look, they've got five guys I think that averaged double figures in college basketball a year ago, and two of them don't even start.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, they've got depth, and you know, the Bills teams are going to defend. Bills teams are going to be extremely unselfish, and they're going to play fast. They're really good, and I think he's got so many pieces. He's just got to figure out how he's going to utilize all of them in terms of rotations, and I think that's going to be, you know, that's going to be the challenge for him. Like KJ doesn't get very many minutes right now.
No,
right?
No, we wanted that when he went out there. He played three the other night, Coach.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, it kind of isn't the same problem he had when he was at Memphis.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's just the way it's going to be. And,
that's what it looks like.
I mean, Bill's good. Bill, as opposed to when he stayed at home, you know, Bill doesn't have to give in to the community pressure. Mm-hmm. He's just going to play the dudes that he thinks going to help him win a national championship. So, I mean, it's actually, I think it's great for Dedrick to get away from home, but,
Right. For KJ,
every like situation's different.
No question about it.
It's so hard.
Even with brothers.
Yeah, it's just so hard.
If you were.
Even when watching your brother do play and then not play, it has got to hurt.
Yep. No question about it. I got one more for you. You mentioned Zion and how you try to stop him. You got to make him defend. With him, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, if you're starting a squad, Coach, you're recruiting your squad, you're going to get one of them. I'm just curious, your personal opinion, which one of them do you want? Which one does Seth Greenberg want?
He's a freak. I mean, there's no one like him. And I'll tell you, the most important guy in that whole group, I'd end up being Trey Jones, though. Because
mm-hmm.
he don't need the right to play for him, and he guards, and he advance passes, and he's got a great feel. But Zion would be the one guy, just because, I mean, think about this. Yeah, we can compare him to Barkley. We compare him to whomever we want. You know, LeBron-esque, this, that. He's different than anyone that's played in recent years. Like, yes. I coached in the ACC for 9 years. I don't remember playing against a guy like him.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
If you think about it, I mean, you know, 9 years in that league, there was no one. Like, there was no one that I had to sit there and go, all right, how do I figure this dude out?
Seriously.
How am I going to find a guy to either match his size or his strength or his second jump or his and the most important impressive thing about the kid is I don't think I've ever seen him play without a smile on his face.
I know he's smiling and he's unselfish, Coach.
Yeah, I mean he's got a great way about him. He looks like an incredible teammate. He wants to win. He's a happy kid. He seems like he wants to be part of the team. To me. I mean, that's a great thing. I mean, and that dude's going to make a lot of money next year, and even away from basketball, because he does have the type of personality.
He does.
He's almost got Magic Johnson's smile.
He does. It draws you in. I'm with you, Coach.
Yeah, it just draws you in. He's an easy kid to root for because of the way he carries himself.
No question about it. Seth, we appreciate the time, as always, man. Thank you for the insight.
All right, enjoy the season. You guys should have a fun season.
Yes, sir. Should be good.
Thank you, man.
He is Seth Greenberg, college basketball analyst for ESPN. Appreciate him joining us here on the show today.